called demonic. And as for Jesus, they call him a drunkard and a glutton because of his joy, because of the company he keeps, and because he delights in embracing the despised. Jesus, in our reading, chides both those who despise the way of mourning and those who despise the path of joy. And because he chides both, we can safely say that both mourning and joy are valid religious moods. There is a time for John's repentance, mourning, and lamentation, a time for Lenten self-examination. But there is also a season for shouting hallelujah, a season for drinking and eating and hanging out with the wrong crowd, with misfits and the marginalized, the tax collectors and the sex workers, the drag queens and the queer, and all who transgress prevailing social norms. But if one had to prioritize one of these moods over the other, Christians are called first and foremost to gladness and exuberance. We are, after all, disciples of Jesus, not John. And Jesus' joy, Jesus' way of being, Jesus' instructions to his disciples that they are not to fast so long as he is with them, those are our marching orders. Who fasts in the company of the bridegroom? What fool fasts at a wedding feast? Jesus came proclaiming the beloved community. In the name of his Father, he declares forgiveness. He comes to say to his people, "You are the beloved children of God. You are innately beautiful and infinitely precious." He came to remind a bruised and oppressed people that Roman disregard and brutality should not define them. He proclaims God's yes upon his people, and God's yes spills over. He does not just say yes to his people, but he becomes God's yes to all God's people, and all means all. He was so steeped in God's yes saying that Jesus became God's amen to the world. Recall the words God spoke after creation. God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. Jesus is God's yes to the world, God's world, God's word of blessing. And Jesus knew who needed to hear God's yes the most. Precisely those despised because of their social station, the tax collectors, the sex workers, and all counted as sinners by the respectable crowd. In our time too, we who follow God's amen to the world must proclaim God's yes to those whose sexualities, gender identities, and gender expressions are regarded as aberrant and therefore despised. Taking our lead from Jesus, Christians must always proclaim God's loudest yes to those most marginalized. Christians do so not because we are at the center and are called to be hospitable and inclusive to those others on the margin. No, we do so because God is hospitable and inclusive. After all, God alone is the center that calls us all in. Because God says yes to all, we say yes to all. We join in saying yes to bodies, yes to sex, yes to eating and drinking. We say yes to God's fleshly, created, beautiful world. And we fight to remove every yoke that forces folks to be other than who God created them to be. We drink, we eat, we dance, we embrace, we march, we parade. We who are bathed in God's loving yes to us, extend that yes to all, especially those who most need to hear it. So, dearest siblings, let us steep in God's loving amen to us. And then let us hit the streets and dance with the LGBTQIA2S+ community. For all God's children, without exception, are infinitely beloved of God. Amen.